14 amendments fill the ballot on Election Day. The Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana provides a voter's guide to those proposals. PARC President Robert Travis Scott joins us to discuss a number of the items before voters. Robert, thank you for your time.
I'm glad to be joining you, and thank you for taking on this topic. This is a tough one. There are 14 amendments that voters will face when they go into the booth, and we strongly advise that you make up your mind before voting time whether you're going to vote yes or no on these, because once you get into the booth, it's going to be very tough to finish that job in 3 minutes if you haven't already gone in with your checklist. PAR does not take a position on these amendments. What we're trying to do with our voter guide is simply give you the pro and con arguments and help explain what these are all about.
Well, health care items and amendments 1 and 2. First on the ballot, seeking to give protection to a medical trust fund and set a baseline compensation rate for health care providers. It offers a proposed change to current statutes. How so?
Well, amendments number 1 and 2 are probably the most significant ones on the ballot. And number 1 really concerns mainly nursing homes and intermediate care facilities for the developmentally disabled. And what this would do is it would take an existing assessment and financial system that's used for the nursing homes and these institutions, and it would protect that whole system in the Constitution. Basically, what happens is the nursing homes are assessed a fee or a tax, if you will, but they welcome that because they can take that money, match it under the federal Medicaid program, and get that money back at an even greater volume than they put in. And it helps them take care of the folks who don't have the means to pay for their care at these facilities. And that's the way the financial system works. So the nursing homes want this. The AARP and the home care industry don't want it because they feel sort of cut out by the process here. And the higher education institutions are also opposed because they're concerned that in the budget process, they'll have less room for their allocations in the state budget, because this provides kind of a provider guarantee of rates coming back to these healthcare institutions. So it's a very interesting and controversial amendment, but it's one that I think really deserves a serious look by voters.
That second item seeks to change the current hospital funding methods. An assessment would be given for hospitals to draw down more Medicaid dollars. Who would pick up the tab for these reports?
Well, see, that's a really good question. And whereas number one just takes an existing finance system and assessment and protects it in the Constitution, number two really concerns hospitals, and it would create a new assessment or a new tax on the hospitals, which, again, they would welcome. Most of the hospitals would welcome it because they, again, would be able to take those assessments, match them with federal dollars under the Medicaid program, and help pay for the services they provide to those people who show up to the hospital needing urgent care and don't have health insurance coverage or can't afford to pay for it. So the hospital's sort of obligated to take care of them, and this would be one system used by many states. In which the hospitals would be able to get compensation for that particular type of service. So what they want to do is place this whole financial system and ensure some baseline of provider rates in the state constitution. Now, this could be done in statute, and that's one of the criticisms of it. You know, the hospitals are facing some very uncertain financial times ahead all across the state. They're very concerned about where their resources are going to come from, because it's a very changing environment for the financial underpinning, especially for the federal programs that they're currently using. A lot of those are in jeopardy or maybe being reduced. So the hospitals want to have this, but at the same time, you have higher education and some hospitals who provide just specialty services who don't want to see this because they feel cut out of the whole deal, especially in the budgetary process every year. Higher education officials are very much against this proposal.
Well, Amendment 3 addresses a pressing issue for many local municipalities, and that is to allow those governments to bring in a private firm to collect delinquent taxes or sell the property. How would this better the current situation with delinquent owners?
Yeah, but you see, local governments have a responsibility to do this. there's a delinquent taxes on a property, and quite often this is because of a death or an abandoned property or blighted property. It isn't always just because somebody just refused to pay their property taxes. Mm-hmm. And they have to get those homes back into those either vacant lands or those vacant properties. They need to get them back into commerce, put them back into productive use. And many jurisdictions hire a private firm to navigate this very complicated process. So what this constitutional amendment would do is it would say, hey, the Supreme Court just recently decided that a New Orleans program to get private services to do this was not constitutional. And so now there's this whole question of whether all these other jurisdictions in the state, there's like 43 of them who use private firms for this service, you know, whether or not they're okay to keep doing that. And so this constitutional amendment will address that issue, which has now been made somewhat controversial and confusing by the Supreme Court decision. So the folks for this say local governments have a responsibility to perform this duty, and that hiring a private firm, especially for some of the smaller jurisdictions, is just a good way of being able to handle this. Whereas the critics of it would say, look, the tax collector should be the tax collector, not a private firm, and the statutory fee set at a 10% for these particular transactions is arbitrary and too high, and therefore we shouldn't give constitutional praise for this type of system.
Another proposal would transfer funds for a state infrastructure bank. There currently is no such bank. What are proponents hoping for in this measure?
Well, the legislature tried to create an infrastructure bank in the last session, and it didn't pass. But they did pass a companion bill that would allow for fund transfers to help make that whole financial system work. An infrastructure bank is basically just a state bank that a lot of people would like to see. It's used in South Carolina, where local governments would be able to borrow from the bank for road projects and then pay that back into a revolving loan program with the state. But since there is no infrastructure bank, basically we're allowing you to write checks, but you got nothing to deposit it into. So that's what this amendment would do. The proponents say this is a good first step towards getting an infrastructure bank. Let's go ahead and pass this. And there are others who say, no, there's no infrastructure bank. You got the cart before the horse. No reason to have this amendment passed.